There is a darkness that lurks inside all of us. Time to bring it into the light.
Welcome to Sick Minds with Alistair Griggs and Nico Tatarovich.
Hey, here we are again.
Yeah, we are here.
In a fancy studio.
This is a different one.
Different, yeah. It might sound different. I'll probably cut this out.
We're joined today by Alex Lowe.
Hello.
Alex, hello.
Hello.
How low can you go? Hey?
Well, we'll see.
Is that the sort of thing that people used to bully you with?
Bullying. The only bullying I got really at school was because I was a sort of child actor. So I'd have people bullying me.
We were a little velour-wearing thesp.
Yeah, I was. And I was in the play Another Country in the West End, and I had to come to school with a very severe short back and sides. Anyway, I was segued into that too early. It was just an introduction,
wasn't it?
That's
good.
Griggs,
you teamed that up.
You get any bullying at school?
No, but I remember I was once in a fight where I did manage to chin the bully.
Ooh.
And it was the best one I've ever done in my life, and then he did stop after that.
What, you've chinned a few people, have you?
I chinned one kid when I was 13, and then and then when I was about 30, I strangled a man on the train.
No. Did you?
We're off.
Yeah.
Lift off.
I had a fight, an altercation on the train when I was coming back drunk. And these two American girls.
Oh my God.
Who were chatting amongst themselves, and there was a drunk man beside them. And he started saying, like, he was a bit rude to them. He was going, "Oh, where are you? Like, slags going?" And then he started saying really bad things, like, "I'm happy about that 9/11 thing," and all that. And I was
attention seeker.
Yeah, and I was drunk and had a misplaced sense of confidence.
Was it Osama bin Laden? Because he was fairly happy.
I told him what's what. And I suddenly felt compelled to do something.
Oh, my God.
But as I stood up, I felt that it would be better if I had a connection.
Murdered him.
I did an American accent. I pretended that I was American.
Are you making this
no,
up?
No, this is serious.
This is why I have to do this with him.
I'm
not
serious.
Even started.
Because
we've not even
thought
you
should have an American accent.
Yeah, wow. And it was,
good God.
I think... I've suddenly now got embarrassed because I've realised, I went,
on, do it.
And I went, hey, buddy.
Hey, bud. You cockamamie son of a gun.
I'm walking here. Right?
You do the math.
Hey, 9/11 was... what did you say?
I said
9/11 was a national tragedy.
I did say, I went, like, hey, buddy, I'm American. What, you want to say that to me? Like that?
Want to say that to my American face?
But what was bad was that then I had to maintain it.
Oh,
and I had
no.
to maintain it during the stress of
yeah,
a fight.
God. Really?
Yes.
What?
Get your goddamn hands off me, you dirty ape.
Get your hands off my bollocks. I mean,
I mean, yeah. Really?
Yeah. And we were like, properly squared up against
You're
each other.
Kidding.
So what was the thought process that made you think that it was important to portray an American?
Because I think I was
in a combat situation
trying to justify why I was defending these women,
what's
other than just being nice.
Right, so just that women should be safe wasn't enough.
Yeah,
you have,
it was more like
you couldn't raise any morality in you without thinking of like the worst Western disaster in recent history. It's like, oh no, women being shouted at on the tube.
I'm
going to need a little bit more than
this. I think
this.
I was trying to impress them a bit.
9/11. I'm not
a
fighter.
You're not a fighter. No, I imagine you're not.
I've got enough anger in me that I feel like at some point someone's going to get beaten to death.
Mm.
Really?
I really want to kick someone's head in.
Sort of falling down style.
I honestly, nothing would complete me, my journey to masculinity more than finally, you know, seeing an injustice like you saw.
Yeah.
Mm. Leave the accent. I'll stick with a Manchester accent for that. Mm. That'll work fine. And just fucking smash someone all over the tube carriage for being rude to a lady, and then everyone going, well handled.
What happens if you can't? What happens?
Well, that is what's going to happen.
Yeah, if he goes, oh, really?
Really?
Have some of this then.
Wipes the fucking floor with me.
Yeah, what
that's the end, isn't it? That's why I've never done it. That's hence.
Imagine the humiliation.
Hence the sense of humour. God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you would think.
Oh. And in front of a lady, I think it's even worse. That's like a deep
A lady feed, you were trying to help.
Yeah, like you're there and you're trying to, yeah. And then you're like,
what did you say to her? And then she sort of beats the guy up and you're like, you end up like with one of those foil cloaks on being put into an ambulance.
Can I tell you just a little bit of a nasty story? I was about 18, 17 I was, we went down to Bournemouth and we met some French girls in the amusement arcade.
Ooh, ooh la la.
And, you know, they're all into the old pinball, you know. And we were playing the pinball, and my mate Johnny Eames said to me, we're going to have to go. We're really going to have to go. I said, no, what are you talking about? I had my back to the rest of the amusement arcade. Felt someone nudge into me a couple of times. I looked round, and to my horror, we were surrounded by, this is the mid-80s, what used to be known as a gang of skinheads. Really horrible right-wing skinheads who started going, you're dirty. What are you doing with these French? You're dirty. You're dirty. Get outside. The girls were saying, you know, what is qu'est-ce qui se passe? Got outside. They surrounded me. I had a cigarette sort of stabbed out on my hand.
Classic 80s bullying tactic.
Classic. Bit of flob in the hair and all that.
That's not nice.
And
you had lovely hair in those days.
I did. I'd had a step wedge, you know. And not long after the short back and sides I mentioned earlier. But anyway, tried to push through these people, and then the worst thing was every time I tried to say, "Look, we don't want any trouble." Be, easy, mate. All right, easy. So I'd be the thing is, I don't know. No, mate, don't come with me. All right, there was no way out of this thing. I pushed past and went into the amusement arcade. The woman said, "Go into the bucket and spade shop. Go into the amusement arcade. Ask for Dave." I went in there. At the change machine, there's people queuing up. I pushed the front and said, "Is Dave there?" The bloke went, "Fuck off!" It's like, oh God, it's a nightmare.
A flaxen-haired junior.
Yeah, it was so horrible. Anyway, we sort of made a run for it, and they ran after us through Bournemouth, and that was the time if I had any sort of balls, I would have tried to take them on. But there was no doubt we were going to horribly pummeled.
There's common sense, isn't there? Like when you know you're outnumbered and...
Yeah, but I mean, that makes me annoyed to this day that happened, you know.
Yeah, it's like, we've all got one. Some kid hit my cousin when I was about 10 and I was a skinny little thing. I wasn't a ruffian. Mm. But I threw an apple at his eye.
Right.
And I counted that as sort of self-defense, like an attack. That was my version of an attack, was to get an apple off. I plucked it off an apple tree.
Did you?
Yeah. And fucking smashed it into his face.
Did it hurt him?
Don't pick on my cousin.
It hit him in the eye, didn't it?
Hit him in the fucking eye.
Yeah. Well,
didn't do that again.
Did it hurt? Did he go down a bit?
I'm not going to overstate the effect that had. It just hit him in the eye and he just stopped. Yep. I'm pretty sure he wasn't scared of me. Anyone who knows me will tell you you're more likely to... If I get angry, what happens is people fall about laughing, generally speaking.
I would say out of the three of us in that case, that Ali has
really
that's, wins.
That's
I know,
it's quite pathetic.
That surprises me.
That's quite pathetic.
Mm, that's bad.
All it would take was for anyone with any sort of... alpha properties to walk into this room and we'd all immediately be... I mean, do you think you can you handle yourself?
Well, the only... When we had that... When I had the thing with the guy, I was pretending to be American and we were up against each other and he was saying, so the train's coming towards my station and I realised, well, I needed to get off. And I said, well, I'm getting off now. And he went, no, you're staying on this train and you're getting off at my station and that's when we're going to have a fight.
Oh,
and I went, no, and he went, no, you're staying on the train. And I said, all right, well, why don't you come out at my station? We'll have to fight there. And he went, no, I'm staying on this train to my station.
Oh my God.
And then
it became territorial.
I had to then I felt my arms go weak, even though we were up against each other. Weak, definitely weaker, yeah. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to hit him. Mm. I might miss or it will break my hand.
Oh, God.
So instead, I went into like a defense mode and I my hands like leapt up and I literally I put my hands around his neck.
God.
And what's amazing about that, if you've ever done this, if you push with significant force with your thumbs into someone's windpipe, within seconds, his tongue was, it was like Jabba the Hutt when he's being strangled by Princess Leia. It was like stuck out.
You're kidding.
You're
kidding.
He went, ah! And I then managed to go, I managed to then push.
He didn't do that in American. It sounded sort of American.
You goddamn limey piece of shit.
And he went, ah! And I managed to then throw him. And the train door opened. It was my stop. So I jumped out and I got out and the girls got up too. Yeah. And then he looked
and
at me.
We all started kissing.
And he was sort of, wait.
Their tongues were out after a while, weren't they?
This is the thing. He looked at me and he was like getting his breath back. And I remember he looked at me and he just said, "You're dangerous, mate. You're dangerous." And to this day, I don't know if he was being sincere or sarcastic.
I think to strangle someone, he's probably being sincere.
Yeah.
I mean, for anyone.
It's a complex one to unpack, that one.
I think for anyone.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Any listeners who haven't met Ali.
I might need a lawyer.
If you saw him, he's very, very thin.
Yeah.
He's got some spaghetti legs here. He's got nothing.
He's
got nothing. You wouldn't credit him for that.
No, you look. The word I would use, the impression I would get just seeing you in the street would be mild. You don't look like a weak man, but you look mild and sensible.
But you haven't told anyone. He's only 8 inches tall.
Yeah,
and no one's mentioned that yet.
Hello.
Yeah. Did the girls feel in any way? Did they feel turned on? Grateful, turned on and grateful.
Two different things there.
In any way. Let's start with the turned on. That's more what I'm interested in.
They honestly didn't care. They got off and I remember them, the door shut and I sort of looked at them like, now.
Classic male entitlement.
And then they just sort of went, "Oh, thank you," and then just walked off, and I really was quite put out. I was actually painful.
Well, really? I guess maybe because it was pathetic that you tried to pretend to be American. They were like,
"Oh
God, this guy's standing up for us. Great, he's what?
What is he doing?
Hey, you're killing that guy that wasn't actually even doing anything that wrong, and now you're expecting us to find you attractive. Let's get the fuck out of this whole country. This whole country's full of assholes.
It's really bad.
Oh shit." I mean, we didn't even get time to tell people what Sick Minds is.
Oh, yeah, go on, tell them.
If you don't know from listening to that, then you never will. Sick Minds, Alex, it's an open forum for Alistair Griggs, myself, Nico Tatarovic, and whoever we get on as a comedy guest.
Right.
To just have a chat where we sort of delve into the weird memories, opinions, intrusive thoughts, odd stuff that you know allows itself into your head and go, "Oh, that's a bit weird," or a bit dark or a bit worrying, and it's fun talking about it. So you know, to some degree there's no limits. I think we were pretty close to the limits.
We went
pretty close to the limits right there, but we've had some really good chats with the guests we've had so far that feels like it, sometimes it goes half serious, doesn't it? And you start exploring the reasoning behind why you might be thinking something, but really, let's just keep it funny.
Well, I am a little bit worried when you ask me to do this that I might just sound like a grumpy old man. I recently turned 50.
Yeah.
I live in the suburbs, not far from you, Nico.
Yeah.
You know what we're all like around there, goose stepping up and down the street. And I was a little bit worried that it just might end up me moaning into the ether.
Well, there's still time.
That may well happen. But there is so that's what I'm trying to avoid.
Here's the thing, right? Mm. I think it's all. I know there is a crossover with just people going on things. So I'll tell you what's rubbish these days, right?
Yeah.
But where we like to go, that's different from that, is I want to talk about the anger that it brings up.
Yeah.
Or like you said, well, I think you said something to me, something that makes you burn up inside.
Yeah. Go on.
Is
what was it? One of
was
many.
It to do with building developments?
Oh, blimey! Mm. I look, to be honest, I don't think this is going to really excite the podcasting crowd, but we have a development near our house, right?
Yeah.
And there's a local guy who is he lives just a few doors up from me, mm-hmm. and he's building, as far as I can make out, 5 townhouses mm-hmm. in what is someone's back garden.
Right.
But the thing that really this is dull, and we might have to move off this.
No.
But the thing that upsets me is, of course, we need housing in this country. And people will always say, "You're a NIMBY. You're a NIMBY, not in my backyard." The fact it is literally a backyard doesn't seem to have occurred to anyone. It is literally... You're right. I do not want 5 houses in someone's back garden very near me. It's the thin end of the wedge. Before you know it...
The thin end of the wedge.
It will not... That will not solve the housing crisis in this country.
But can you... Why do those houses annoy you?
Because, for a kick-off, do you know where I live?
I know it's Watford.
Yeah, it's not quite Watford.
You've not had me around, so...
It's the Crouch End part of Watford.
Bushy?
Near Oxy. Bushy. Near Oxy. Yeah. Oxy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you precisely where, but you literally can't get an ambulance up the road. People park their cars to go to Bushy Station in all our roads. You cannot move for cars. It is dangerous. If I collapsed from this fit of peak that I'm in now, which may well happen, you cannot get an ambulance up the road. Consequently, 5 townhouses, and this geezer was heard coming down the road, and a mate of mine said, "Oh, you've opened up a can of worms." He went, "Yeah, I love it. Another neighbour of mine said, "Oh, no, he's a mate of mine. That's what he does for a living, though. That's what he does, development." Yeah, whoever came up with thalidomide, that's what he does. It doesn't make it all right. You know what I mean? This kind of idea, that's what he does, so that's his job. That's how he makes his money. Yeah. It's just horseshit, you know. So that really winds me up, particularly the NIMBY thing. Oh, you're a NIMBY. Yeah, I am a NIMBY. I know, a friend of mine who did town planning as his degree. As far as I can see, that went on for something like 7 years. I'm not a town planner. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how you solve the housing crisis. But it ain't building 5 houses at £800,000 each in someone's back garden. That is not going to solve the housing crisis. And it's just going to wind people up. And what's more, it means that nice areas, places where people like to live and they feel happy, and it's not particularly wealthy, you know, affluent area, it just means that becomes shit. Now, do you want that? No, we don't.
This
does sound like grumpy old men, I'm sorry.
No.
But it makes my blood boil.
Yeah.
Is it the greed which angers you?
Yeah, it is the greed. The sheer greed. And he's prepared to shit on his own doorstep.
There you go.
Literally. Rather, you know, to take some money and presumably bugger off somewhere else, you know. And it just means it's just ruined... It's just reduced my life, the life of all my friends and neighbours... And my kids, because so he can make some money and, you know, disappear elsewhere.
A wanker, a chancer.
Yeah. I'd like to name him. And I'm so furious, I would like to do some criminal damage. I'm not going to. Let's make that clear.
If you did, right.
And if there is any criminal damage to this guy's property, it wasn't me. I promise you it wasn't me. I won't do it. But I feel like I'd like to.
What would you like to do?
I want to write greed in pink letters.
Yeah. There we go.
You know, be precise. I don't not
pink letters.
Direct action.
Yeah, pink letters if you like.
I thought you said pink letters.
Big letters.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, big pink letters. On his, I know he's got an office. I'd like to do that across. But you know, I'm not going to because I'm a civilized person. It just brings me down to his level.
But, would you like to humiliate him in front of like a pub full of people?
Not really, because the pub he goes to, he's got a lot of supporters, and I think I would come.
You get your head kicked in, and yeah. Everyone would end up going NIMBY, NIMBY, NIMBY.
I'd have to be forced to put an American accent.
By the way, what a terrible insult! Who calls anyone a NIMBY? Griggs, got any thoughts? Anything fucking pulling your chain this week?
What was the thing? I don't know. I was thinking about how I get... Well, you're talking about kind of misplaced rage or getting angry at things which shouldn't make you angry. Then I tend to... Every time I go into Marks and Spencer's to buy a sandwich, if I'm in the queue, I start to get anxious and annoyed that I'm going to have to be answered the questions now they ask at the till.
Oh,
they ask questions. Like, they go, okay, and they say, would you like a coffee or a snack? And I say, no. And then they say, would you like a bag? And I say, no. Then they say, do you have an M&S card? And I say, no. And then they say, would you like a bag? And I say, no. And then they say, would you like a receipt? And I say, no. And I actually now, when I go and pay, I just say, just this, no to the rest.
None of the questions.
It freaks me out. I can see them doing it.
The one that gets me is, after you've done anything or bought anything or been on any website or just done anything ever, you now get, how did we do? Yeah. How did we do? Yeah. Yeah. Have you got a minute to just tell us?
No, I haven't got a minute.
Yeah. Ian came round and read your meter. Could you just take a couple of minutes to tell us how Ian did? And it's like, fucking hell. The guy alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. On
stop
a scale of
measuring Ian.
A scale of 1 to 10. 1 being, we're going to get a hold of him, put him in stocks and beat the shit out of him. Yeah. 10 being, he's going to get a kidney transplant.
But everyone does it.
Yeah, isn't it? How would you...
Was your experience receiving an Amazon package?
Yeah.
You know what? I opened the fucking door.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a bloke stood there. He gave it to me. We both said, nice one. He got on with it. He was just... He had his mind on the traffic between...
Yeah.
It was fine. Gone. It was honestly, it was fine. Just leave him alone.
I had one where I hadn't added toilet roll to the Tesco shop. I had to do it separately. It came through. Did the product do what you expect? Pretty much. That you know, in terms of what I wanted that to do, I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd have to give that a 10.
Where one is shit smeared all up your back.
and 10 is clean as a whittle, I would have to say.
5 is you could eat your dinner off it.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, how likely would you be to recommend the product? Yeah, lads, if you need a shit...
Everyone should try this.
Really, that, you know, if it's this or say a
if
mug...
If you need a shit, toilet roll.
I would say I'd recommend the product, you know.
How did we do wiping your bum, Alex?
How did we get... But, yeah, and then...
Do you like us?
Yeah.
It's so needy.
Yeah.
That's what I hate. I mean, I even get, like... I get fucking emails off Manchester United. Right?
Oh,
I supported Man United all my life. And I don't get to many games anymore, but I'm still like a fan, if you like. And somewhere along the way, I've obviously been on the website or I've had a membership or whatever. And so part of, like everyone else now, part of their remit is to have digital communications open with their fan base.
Mm.
And it is so horrible getting a sort of multi-multi-billion-pound sports franchise emailing you at once a week, sort of saying, oh, how are we? How did we do? How did it was your email experience? Oh god, it's like you're fucking not even winning.
Yeah,
you're not even winning fucking enough games.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't fucking worry about your digital fucking platform.
Yeah.
Just get out there and fucking beat.
Yeah,
you know, Atletico Madrid or Hull or whoever.
Yeah,
fucking hell.
Oh, I know.
How did we do?
Yeah, it's disgusting, isn't it?
Was it good enough that when the man knocked on your door and gave you...
I mean, a lot of them have got the front. They just say, after this, in about 5 minutes, you may well receive a phone call or a text. If you could give me 5 stars.
Oh, yeah.
If you could do that, I just ignore it.
And that's a horrible transaction, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Getting a lift in someone's car
and
being rated for being a passenger in a car.
That's right.
5 out of 5 there, mate.
Yeah. Well done. Five stars to you, sir.
Five stars to you. Why? Sitting there?
I was sort of said, hello, how are you? You okay?
Because I pretended to care what time it started.
What do you want? Do you want a pretend friendship for 20 minutes?
Drive the car.
I love a chat with a taxi driver.
I know you do, and I don't.
So I go into sort of the common touch mode, Michael Barrymore in a shopping mall.
Yes.
When I'm in a taxi, it's like, oh mate, what's it like, eh? Hey, down the old road in the old taxi.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, nightmare, mate. What do you do yourself then? I'm like, I write comedy. Yeah. And they're like, you're joking, in char. And I'm like, and yet I'm still normal. I watch football. And
do you know Addison Lee? Addison Lee.
Why not?
I'm not saying anything bad, but many years ago,
who are Addison Lee
non-showbiz people? They are an upmarket cab company. It's all done on account. Production companies normally say your Addison Lee's waiting downstairs after you've filmed something or whatever. But it's kind of quite a nice service. It's a bit. Yeah. It's one up from a minicab. And
it's a bit like having a chauffeur, isn't it?
It's a bit like having a chauffeur. You quite often have to chat to the guy but a few years ago a bloke, I was coming back for something quite late at night, and so I started that conversation that you seem to enjoy so much, Nico, which was, cool, you must see a few things this late at night. And he told me, and I won't name this person because it's probably libelous, but a very well-known supermodel, he had to pick her up, and he said that he took her to a club, and I'll tell you where it is later, in Kensal Green, where, according to him, they have orgies.
Right.
And this driver said to me, and I sat outside. Now, the thing is, they will not let you into this club that I'll tell you about later unless you need a wee. So about 4 in the morning, I've gone up to the bouncer and I've said, excuse me, mate, I need a toilet. I did need a toilet. I go in through the door, and he said, and I glance to one side, and in this room, I see this well-known British supermodel in the middle of loads of people gyrating. It was a mass sort of sexual...
Free-for-all. It was, wasn't it?
A sexual, it's a knockout. And he said, she got in a car later and I drove her back to her house. Anyway, by the time he got to my house out in Watford, he'd obviously had a complete crisis of, why did I tell him that? It's clearly client confidentiality.
Yeah.
And as I got out, he went, and by the way, everything I told you is a pack of lies. It's a pack of lies.
I made it up.
So I had just sort of gave it, I felt a bit sorry. I said, oh yeah, I thought as much. There's no way it was a pack of lies. It would have been absolutely pointless.
There's no rating system for him, right? Because you could have just said, 0 out of 5, told me a completely untrue story about...
Story 10, veracity 1.
Okay, Alex, we have got a little treat for you.
Oh.
We want you to play a game that we've been playing over the series, which, frankly, isn't fucking worth it.
Yeah, it's not working. But, it's not working.
But it breaks the show up.
Yeah.
And it's called You Shouldn't Laugh. Right? And this is where we're going to read something out to you that the idea is try not to laugh. It's not very nice. Shouldn't laugh, but maybe you will. Maybe you won't. Griggs, and we're keeping a score, basically.
Yeah.
It's like a penalty shootout of who's winning on who's getting laughs. Right?
Of course, I now feel like laughing already. And you said nothing.
And the score is 2-2. Okay, so I'll go first. Or Nico, you go first.
Are you ready to play?
Yeah.
You Shouldn't Laugh.
Okay.
Here we go. Nico to throw first. Okay. I'm going to try this. Gran bit Flash's willy with antique false teeth.
No,
he's...
Oh, I see. Bit, yeah.
Oh, what? You'd look...
I've lost it. This is a chance to go ahead for me now. Okay, here we go.
Alistair Griggs. To try and take it to 3-2.
Rough day for naked alleged violent naked pooping masturbator.
Oh, it's a roll of the eyes.
That's not a laugh though. No, it's audible sound.
It's a scoreless draw.
Scoreless draw. Okay, well, item will roll on next episode, and you can look forward to it then.
You really, really
shouldn't laugh. So now we come to the part of the show where Alex is about to meet the entity which pulses through sick minds called the Imp.
The Imp of the Mind, Alex. He is the person who ultimately decides whether or not he feels that your mind is sort of diseased enough to sort of make it into the sort of subculture or the club, right?
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're just going to nip down these stairs. Just open the... going down into his cellar, his little hell cave.
Oh, yeah.
And here he is. Imp.
Yes. Do not laugh. What do you want?
We've been talking to Mr. Alex Lowe, the famous actor and comedian who does Barry from Watford and lots of other funny things, like he was in Peter's Friends and he was in loads of other stuff, and I just want he's here.
Oh yes, I know the man, very funny. You wish for me to judge whether you have a sick mind. Alex Lowe. You do indeed have a sick mind.
No! No! No!
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that went quiet. It's funny because I was worried he was just going to say you've got the mind of a grumpy old man.
Yeah, you think I've got the sick mind, yeah.
He was...
That was all right. He did well.
You did well. You're in.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, the final thing we always do is we like to make sure that the listeners out there don't think that we're as horrible as we may have just come across, right?
Yeah.
So we like to try and end on a happy thought each.
Yeah.
Right? Which I now realise I didn't set you up for.
Right, a happy thought.
Yeah. So I'll be plucking mine from thin air. I don't know about you.
Okay.
Griggs, have you got a positive?
Yeah. Oh, I saw a video the other day of a little girl trying to jump on a box, like over and over again, like a really high box, like a gymnast thing. Mm-hmm. And she kept mucking up. And like on the 50th go, she managed to jump and stand on top of it. And she was like, yeah. And her dad was like, yeah, you did it. And it was like, yeah. Usually that stuff, I'm repulsed by it. But I actually, I like this one.
Yeah, sure.
So it was like she made it.
She made it,
There's hope for all of us.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's nice to hear you thinking like that for a change, Grace.
Thank you.
We are recording this in Hackney, in London's trendy area. Nico and I, for some inexplicable reason, have both come from that area, sort of northwest London. Long, long way we've come to this. And I decided I needed a cup of tea when I was waiting outside. So I went to a very trendy cafe. They offered pastries. They didn't have any. I bought a cup of tea there. And when I looked over the road, I saw what we used to call a conventional greasy spoon caf. I went over there and the portions they're doing in there. The portions! And it's just nice to know that in the pretentious world of Hackney Mare Street, there is a greasy spoon that's doing your chips.
Yeah.
It's doing your paninis on the same plate, chips and panini. It's doing the salad. It's doing
just
beans.
It's whacking it on.
And what's more, the prices were very, very reasonable.
It's the old world.
It's the old world, and it's nice to
how
see
it
that.
It should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's lovely. My sort of sweet thought this week is my little boy is 9 years old, and he has been attending a gymnastics club on a Friday afternoon. He's only been 3 or 4 times. Can't do it yet. He's just sort of skipping about. He jumped on a few boxes.
Hmm.
But all the kids are like 8, 9 years old, and are all quite little, right?
Yeah.
But there's one kid who comes along to that class who looks about 13, and he's got a little bum fluff mustache, and he's all skinny and gangly, and he just, it just looks so weird. He doesn't fit with them. And when they all lie on the floor and lift their legs up, they're like little kids. And he's like this big, lanky, tall thing. And I feel really sorry for him. But what's really sweet is George said he's his friend.
Oh, that's nice. That's really good.
And it's like, I said, does that other boy's a bit older than you. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah, everyone's my friend.
Yeah. Except that's George just... isn't your son. He's the guy who runs the thing, isn't it?
Well, everyone.
Okay.
Alex, thank you very much for coming to join us on Sick Minds. I hope you've had a good time.
Look, I've had a good time, but if the listeners, it did sound a bit like what I didn't want me to sound like, which is what I am.
We all have that problem.
Grump. But you will understand what I mean, particularly in... Look, this is a terrible disclaimer now, but particularly in reference to the development, you will understand... Of course we need housing in this country, but they're just people making a fast buck. That's not the same thing. Exactly. And that's all I want to say. So sorry about all this.
It was a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, Alex. Everyone. Great to see you guys.
If you're out there, you're on Twitter or whatever?
I am. Please join me in. And when will this go out?
Don't know.
Oh, I've got a show tomorrow at 100 Club if you want to come. Alex Lowe, Sir Alex Lowe on Twitter.
And Barry, you've got a podcast?
Yes, I do a podcast with Angelos Epithemia.
You do?
It's called The Angelos and Barry Show. And it's out on iTunes and everywhere else. And we're doing Edinburgh if you want to come and see us.
And Sick Minds is indeed on iTunes and everywhere else. Audio Boom and lots of other places that you can get podcasts. And I'm on Twitter at Nico Tat, which I rarely check because Twitter is a cesspit.
Yeah, and I'm at Alistair Griggs. Which I've now updated a bit.
Hey guys, thanks for listening, and join us for another episode next time of
Sick Minds.